Emory University Podcasts.
Mental health is a hot topic these days, especially now when information about any condition you can imagine is available right at our fingertips. Have you ever gone online, read about a mental health condition, and thought, huh, I think I might have that? This is what the professionals call self-diagnosis, and it's on the rise. I'm Lauren Palacio, and you're listening to Healthier You, a podcast made by students at Emory University's Center for the Study of Human Health. Every week, we bring you personal stories and expert insights into our generation's biggest health questions. On today's episode, self-diagnosis. Who is it for? How does it work? Is it a valid substitute for professional diagnosis? All this and more coming up. Self-diagnosis is when a person comes to the conclusion that they have a mental illness without the guidance of a psychiatric professional. For some, this happens unintentionally. They may see a TikTok about ADHD and start saying to themselves, "Wow, I definitely do that," while others seek out information on Google or Instagram to help them gain clarity about concerning feelings or habits. While this seems innocent on the outside, the diagnosis of a mental health condition or disorder holds huge implications for the person receiving it, and it can be hard to understand without proper training. According to a 2019 study conducted by researchers at Leiden University Medical Center, two-thirds of patients are confident in the information they gather about medical conditions from the internet. The most obvious problem with this is that oftentimes, the information is coming from websites and blogs that are not held to the same standard published academic studies are. Even if a patient were a well-educated college student or a professional in their own field, they lack the rigorous training and clinical knowledge needed to properly apply the information they have learned into their own lives. As a student who studies healthcare equity and the many barriers to achieving it, I find self-diagnosis concerning. Because you lack the certifications, degrees, and training, the diagnosis you give yourself cannot grant you access to resources and accommodations that you may need to thrive. With these risks in mind, why would a person choose to self-diagnose? Well, it might have something to do with the culture you grew up in and your ability to access healthcare. Self-diagnosis, at times, is the only available option. This was the case for my childhood friend, Tiffany Shear. When Tiffany and I were in the 7th grade, I noticed subtle changes in her behavior. She became reclusive, nervous, and seemed to be burdened by her thoughts.
Middle school was hard. I just knew that I was depressed. You know, I knew I was sad all the time. And I knew that I was like kind of anxious, but it didn't get to a point where I was like, I need help. It didn't get to a point where it was something that I actually had to like work on or fix. I was just kind of like, okay, this is it. This is just how I feel.
I encouraged her to see her doctor, but with 5 siblings, a mother who worked overtime, and the stigmas brought on by pride in a rural southern town, she resorted to the internet for answers.
You know, have this one random thought pop in my head that's not necessarily good, and then I'm going to spiral off of that for days straight. And it wasn't just necessarily nervousness. I think the biggest thing was overthinking.
When asked why she chose to self-diagnose rather than seek a professional diagnosis, here's what she said.
My parents, and then just kind of, I guess socially, like this might be more of like an old view, but I just feel like sometimes socially it's not acceptable to have mental illnesses, you know, and being in a small town and everything else like that, like you don't want to be the crazy one.
This response brings up a few points that are crucial to our understanding of the practical usefulness of self-diagnosis. Parental judgment or lack of support can prevent a child from receiving medical attention due to a lack of financial power or autonomy. It also holds true that while a parent may notice issues with a child's mental state or behavior, they may not seek professional help or outside opinions needed to start a child on a journey towards better mental health. A 2022 survey on parents' attitudes towards their child's mental health conducted by C.S. Mount Children's Hospital showed that while 82% of parents would discuss mental health concerns with their children, only 43% would seek professional help. The issue at times is not just a person's family, but their community at large and the cost of seeking treatment. According to the American Psychological Association, millennials and members of Gen Z are significantly more likely to report seeking mental health treatment than their Gen X and baby boomer counterparts. Shifting attitudes towards therapy and other psychiatric conditions may be responsible for the growing trend in self-diagnosis. There is also the issue of money. According to Mental Health America, 42% of people living with mental health conditions cannot afford to seek care. In the same study, it claims 10.8% of people with mental health conditions are uninsured. All in all, the truth of why some people choose to forego professional diagnosis, despite the risk, is that access to professional diagnosis is limited for young people, and in some cases adults, by a lack of autonomy, cultural influence, and the costly reality of professional diagnosis. Self-diagnosis is just one option for pursuing mental health treatment. Professional diagnosis is optimal, but what does it entail? How does it differ from the diagnosis one can give themselves? To answer these questions, I consulted Dr. Charles Rizon, a leading expert in mental health research. Dr. Rizon is a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, visiting professor at the Center for the Study of Human Health at Emory, and faculty at Emory's Office for Spiritual Service, where he serves as director of research for novel depression treatments. To begin, I wanted to know where exactly psychiatric professionals get the information they use in order to create their diagnosis.
Psychiatry has a kind of Bible of diagnosis called the DSM, and it's in its fifth edition. And this is a very imperfect approach, and we now know don't correspond with any sort of deeper genetic reality or environmental reality or biological, neurobiological reality.
In other words, the criteria for the diagnosis defined in the DSM-5 are based on behaviors and feelings alone, not biomarkers that leave objective traces. A psychiatric professional cannot draw your blood and give you a definitive answer for what you struggle with. While symptoms are subjective and can be displayed differently by each patient, Dr. Rizon goes on to explain that a mental health professional goes through rigorous training in order to properly work with the information found in the manual.
There is a skill in doing that. You know, it's a pattern recognition exercise. And the more you see patterns, the more you're able to identify people by those diagnoses.
The ability to recognize concerning patterns in speech, behavior, and thoughts comes from years of schooling, including undergraduate education, medical school, internships, and residency. The professionals you see when going into a therapist's office know how to identify your symptoms and connect them to clusters that correspond with certain diagnoses. So now we're left with one question. What's the difference? You may have noticed that in both self and professional diagnosis, a person uses a guideline to connect symptoms with a condition. While a professional may have years of experience recognizing disorders, you have a lifetime of experiences in your own mind and body. So which is better? The truth is, both can be useful tools depending on your circumstance. In Tiffany's case, she did eventually get professional help after her self-diagnosis.
And then in high school, I was like, okay, I resonate with the fact that I might have depression, I might have anxiety, so I was self-diagnosing. And then I was like, you know what, I need help. I think I need medication. So I do go and get that help. I go get diagnosed, and I got diagnosed with, situational depression and general anxiety. And it just kind of confirmed what I was already thinking, really.
She says she's glad she had both professional and DIY resources available and encourages anyone who's struggling to go online for more information. But make sure it's a good resource, like the DSM-5.
I would say self-diagnose. Look at credible resources and match how you're feeling to those symptoms. And then once you feel comfortable with that, then move forward with professional help. Like I said, with things like depression and anxiety, I feel like you can move through life without getting professional help if you take it upon yourself to get that help all on your own. Like if you can take it upon yourself to, you know, figure out ways that make you feel better within your life, within your condition, then go ahead. But I say start with self-diagnosing and move from there and go to professional.
So in theory, interestingly enough, if done responsibly, I actually think self-diagnosis of mental illnesses, for many of them, is probably an easier task than diagnosing medical conditions.
Now, before you decide to go it alone without the intention of pursuing professional help, keep this in mind.
There's a caveat, which is that some very severe psychiatric conditions like schizophrenia or manic depression, bipolar disorder, one of their primary symptoms is a loss of insight. So in some conditions, self-diagnosis is frankly impossible. And in those conditions, that's where a mental health professional can be really, really helpful because they can recognize problems that because the person has the condition, they cannot see it themselves.
Self-diagnosis can be helpful, But there are some things you shouldn't do without consulting a professional. Avoid taking any pills or supplements without the supervision of a medical professional, and don't let yourself get too worked up over a diagnosis that might not be right. As we learn, the world of psychiatry, DIY or otherwise, can be challenging to navigate. As you move through life, understand that there are resources and support systems available to you. Do what is best for you in the moment you're living, and seek help where you feel safe, comfortable, and confident. Check our show notes for more information on finding proper mental health treatment and emergency services. Thank you for listening to Healthier You from the Center for the Study of Human Health at Emory University. This episode was reported and produced by me, Lauren Palacio. Music by Free Music Archive. Special thanks to Dr. Charles Raison and Tiffany Shear for providing personal and professional insights. You can find links to all the studies and resources we mentioned in our show notes and on our website, exploringhealth.org.